Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
We start a new series on Open House tonight called Aussie Ambassadors. We want to honour the great work of all sorts of different charities, movements and groups in Australia by talking to their ambassadors. We're kicking off in style, talking to celebrity chef Julie Goodwin. She was embraced by the Australian public after winning the first series of MasterChef. It's her warmth, caring nature and passion that so resonated and still resonates with all of us, I'm sure. Despite her huge success as an author, television cook and magazine columnist, she is so down to earth with a heart of gold. St. Vincent de Paul, Oxfam, Child Fund Australia, the McGrath Foundation and 40K Foundation are just some of the charities she advocates for. I think it's fair to say she qualifies for this series very much so. Julie Goodwin, welcome to Open House.
Oh, what a lovely introduction. Thank you, Lee.
You're busy. It's so great to have you kicking this series off, Julie. I'm sure you'll agree that the past few years have been an absolute whirlwind for you. I don't need to say that to you. Did you imagine so much could come from one cooking show?
No. Oh, no. No, not at all. I don't think anybody foresaw what was going to happen when that show started.
Yeah.
And it certainly has. It's changed what I do in my life completely.
Paint us a picture of the Julie Goodwin before that and after.
Before MasterChef, I still really loved my life. I had a beautiful, blessed life. Living here on the Central Coast with my three sons and my husband, and, you know, Mick and I have an IT business that we worked in together, so I worked full-time in the business and, just running around after the kids and doing what we do. and then since MasterChef, obviously a whole lot of new opportunities.
Yeah, the whirlwind, as I said.
Yeah.
You've always had a passion and a great love of cooking.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Mainly when I got my own kitchen to sort of experiment in is when I really started to take off.
Is that part of the art, the experimentation of it all, just giving it a go?
Oh, I think so. Well, it's how I developed as a cook is just, you know, I'd eat something somewhere and I'd go, I liked that, I'd like to eat that again, and I'd go home and try and figure out how to make it.
Yeah. I love asking people like you about one particular moment in their lives, and that is when you took away MasterChef. Can you put into a form of words what that moment was like for you?
The moment where they revealed the scores and I actually won, I feel probably the truest word I can give you for that was surreal.
Yes.
it was actually a couple of minutes later when they brought my family in that it came home to me what had happened, and that, you know, I was seeing my kids for the first time in a month, and that was the biggest moment for me. It was actually when they brought my family in that made everything real again.
So you win the title, you become a record-selling author, and all these opportunities roll in. What has been the best thing about all that? What's been the most challenging thing about all that?
The best things have been the opportunities for my family, for travel and for, you know, to go and see these things in the world that we'd never seen before, and also publishing of a book. That is truly, truly a lifelong dream come true.
Mm.
The most challenging thing has been that, just every now and again, being put into the public eye, you attract negative attention, and that's been a difficult thing for me to come to terms with. I've never been someone who courts conflict or, you know, anything like that. So there's been moments where that's been challenging, but they're far outweighed by the positives.
That's wonderful. No one can be prepared for that,
no.
Can they, really?
No. Oh, no. No. You can't prepare for it. You can't imagine it.
How do you say that you dealt with it then?
Look, I've grown a thicker skin. You know, at first I let everything in, and now what I've sort of realised is that things that go around that aren't true, you know, the people that love me know better, and the people that don't matter. So that's my philosophy, and as long as my husband and my children, my family and friends and myself know what's true, then that's okay with me.
I've rarely heard a better summary of reality and coping with public life, actually. This MasterChef platform allowed you to become an ambassador for a number of charities, as I said in the intro. Why did you do that?
Look, we've always been involved in charities. Mick and I met in a youth group, a charity youth group, St Vincent de Paul youth group, and it's just always been the way we've operated. But what MasterChef did for me was it gave me a bit more leverage. In the past, whatever time and money we donated was what we donated, but now I can sort of appeal to other people, you know, to give some of their time or perhaps just raise their awareness of things. And so it's given me great leverage in that work.
I'm sure that leverage has counted a lot. What does being an ambassador involve then, Julie?
Well, different things for different charities. A lot of it is about the awareness of the issues that the charities are addressing. So it does involve, you know, media work, and I do a lot of social media as well, blogging and Twitter and Facebook and so forth,
yes.
Sharing messages. It's involved, I've donated dinners to a couple of my key charities, and I mean, that's an example of leverage. For example, I couldn't afford to donate the amount of money that people pay to have me come and cook a dinner. So, you know, it works in that way. For Oxfam, I've met with people that are the recipients of some of their programs overseas, and then I've blogged about it and talked about it in media opportunities. And Mick and I are just recently back from a trip to Uganda with Child Fund, where we met our sponsor child, and that was just an incredible experience. So it's wonderful. I mean, it's wonderful. It's a wonderful thing to do.
How important is it for you to be able to give back and advocate for such important groups and often needy people?
Look, I've always known, and Mick and I have always known, that we're very, very lucky in this country. I know, yes, there's poverty here and there's need here, and we do work with charities here as well. But and we were also born into very lucky families, just, you know, blue-collar, hard-working, great work ethic, but we were raised in great families. And I guess that makes us feel very, very grateful for what we have, and very aware that we are lucky, and that not everybody is so. And it's like there's an obligation. I feel an obligation.
I want to focus on two of the charities you work with. You've mentioned them both. First, Child Fund Australia. Take us through exactly what that does, Julie.
Child Fund Australia runs a child sponsorship program. So Mick and I have been sponsoring kids through them for 13 years now. What I always understood was that, you know, it's just over a dollar. It's like $1.35 a day per child. And what that does is, I always believed, helps that child and helps that child's family with their, you know, their food and their schooling and all of that. Having been now to Uganda and seeing the Child Fund programs out in the field, I realise it does so much more than that. There's just whole schools are built, and health centres, and education, nutrition. It was mind blowing the things that have been achieved.
And that moment of meeting your sponsor child, take us to that. What was that like?
Oh, look, the whole time we were out in the field with Child Fund, it was very emotional. These, yes, beautiful, beautiful kids. But the day we went to meet Hamad, he's a 10-year-old boy. We got off out of our little van at the Child Fund Centre in his community, and there was this beautiful dancing and singing and drumming, you know, it was a real show was put on for us.
Great stuff.
And when that finished, here's this little boy, and he had a bunch of flowers for me, and he was so shy, he could barely speak. And I wanted to squeeze him, but I thought I'd better restrain myself, he might run for the hills. So, but he warmed up very quickly, and, you know, we played soccer together, and we had the best day.
Tears shed?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Especially when we said goodbye, you know. I don't know if we're ever going to meet him again, but I'll certainly be in touch with him and look forward to watching him grow into a young man.
What a great word, Julie. Can I also take you to St Vincent de Paul? As you said, you've been involved in that since your youth group days. What started that, and why have you kept on the passion for St Vincent de Paul?
Look, I don't actually speak about this very often, but when I was very little, my family was the recipient of some help from St Vincent de Paul, and I guess that's what gave me an affiliation towards them. When I became a teenager, I left school and I was sort of casting about for something to do before uni started, and a mate of mine had started up a St Vincent de Paul youth group, and I joined that, and they were just the most rough and tumble bunch of Barara boys, you know, rough as guts. and I just fell in love with every one of them, and they're all still my great friends. And I'm married to Mick, who is just my soulmate, my best friend, and I met him in that group as well.
You've mentioned him about half a dozen times already, so I'm sure that's true.
Yeah.
I read a blog post by the TV presenter Sarah Wilson, the host of the first MasterChef season.
Yes.
She said you were like a spiritual beacon to her, and your faith was evident in the way you lived. What sort of role does that faith play in your life, your public role, especially that as an ambassador?
That's a very beautiful thing for her to say. I don't kind of put myself out there as a spiritual beacon or anything like that. I just very simply have a set of values that are evident to me, and that's all. That's all. We go to church. We don't go every week. We're not very good Catholics, but to me, it's more about the community of it and gathering with the people and supporting each other. And I don't put myself out there as a model or anything.
No, but it also compels you to reach out to others.
Yeah, it does. It does. But my faith compels me to do that. Other people, you know, who may not have that faith still might reach out to others. It's just their humanity that does that.
So bring us up to speed on the latest thing in your busy life. What are you doing at the moment? What's upcoming for Julie Goodman?
Oh, what's upcoming? I'm so excited. My next book is going to hit the stores in a very few days. It's called Gather, and it's my favourite book so far because this is the one that really speaks to what I want to achieve, and that is to inspire people to build community, to gather together, to, you know, come together over a meal or a picnic and just get to know one another.
And there's always something about food that enables that to happen.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's like magic. It's like magic. And all of our important events and all of our unimportant events really circle around food. I mean, whether it's a wedding or a baptism, whether it's, you know, catching up with a girlfriend over a cuppa, there's always food involved.
And taking the time as well. That's one of the critical things, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, even here in Australia, I think that isolation is one of the biggest social problems that we face. And I think if we can, you know, sling a word over the back fence or, you know, and just we could prevent someone from living a life of isolation.
Julie Goodman, I'm so glad you've spared the time for us to join us on Open House to kick our Ambassadors series off. Well done, and thank you so much indeed for joining us on Open House.
It's my pleasure, and thank you very, very much for having me.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.